This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody? It's another Miss Marvel Mini. It's Bo here from the TV Talk Podcast. Okay, so this will be a true mini because honestly, I'm thinking through this episode and we didn't really get a whole lot. Now, we got a kind of cool tour of Karachi, which was awesome. And then, you know, we see Kamala. She's connecting with her family and kind of her family origins and roots. We also get introduced to a new superhero who's the Red Dagger. In the comics, he was kind of like a hometown hero for Karachi. It seems like this is also the case here. And it's nice to see that, like, Marvel is, like, expanding out their heroes. So we're getting more of a global picture of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We've got tons of heroes in America. We've got tons of heroes in outer space, but there's more than just outer space in America. And so it's nice to see kind of that further exploration of the heroes across the world. Beyond that, though, there's just not a whole lot, right? Like, so she talks to her grandmother, and I keep on sitting back thinking, like, okay, well, are you going to, there's another bangle, right? Like, are you going to talk about that? And they never quite do. And you know, that she mentions that she saw the train, but they never actually just sit down and have a conversation about what on earth is going on. Like, you know, I feel as though Kamala went all the way back to Karachi, or rather to Karachi for the first time for her. And while it is a lot of, like, you know, there's this kind of this theme of identity, right? Like, that's a theme across the entire series. And so we're leaning hard into that theme this episode, but, like, logistically, like, have a deeper conversation about the superpowers, right? Like, I feel like that was kind of missing here. Also, her grandma is way more with it than she seemed on the phone. And I guess that's, you know, hey, it's a technology thing, right? Like, you skip a couple, or, you know, a couple generations back, you know, you give them some technology, they don't know what they're talking about. So, of course, they're going to come across a little crazy while they're trying to work a Zoom on the phone or whatever it may be. But regardless, no, she was completely with it. And we do see that there's kind of this generational tension between mothers. In fact, when her mom, when Kamala's mom was saying, like, oh, you know, mothers, I was like, don't respond to that, Kamala. It's a trap. So anyway, some great little kind of character moments, some great little, you know, building of the family relations and kind of the family tree and filling in some of the gaps in terms of their own personal family history. And as Kamala is kind of dealing with feeling kind of separated from her family, her people, having grown up in America, and kind of now as that kind of outsider, I get the sense in which she's kind of filling in the gaps in areas that may disconnect her with her mom to some extent, although they didn't necessarily go that route with it. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But regardless, we never actually got a chance to have some of the deeper conversations about the bangle, about the gen. Even when she goes down to the Red Dagger secret hideout, then they mention, okay, there's another universe that's overlaid with this one. Cool. We kind of already knew that, right? Like, I don't think that's new information for us. They mentioned that, like, okay, well, they're Jin or the clandestine because they fell here. But, you know, if you fell into another area, they may call you something else or something of that nature. You know, kind of in the same way that Thor and the Norse gods were kind of seen and labeled as kind of Norse gods because of when they engaged with the Earth. It was in that region and they were worshipped as such and everything else. And then, you know, the Jin, or, you know, the clandestine, rather, they, because of where they land, they get labeled as Jin. And so there's kind of this notion of, like, okay, there's cosmic things going on here. And throughout our history, we've kind of labeled through folklore and through mythology kind of where these kind of fit in our own understanding. And so there's kind of this blending of the two that's going on. Very cool. Again, that's not necessarily new information. We've already gotten that. I would probably say the biggest piece of new information that we got is the fact that the way in which Kamala's powers manifest is different because she is both human and both Jin. Like, she has this kind of combination in her DNA. And so whereas, I guess, for example, the more full Jin or pure Jin or whatever you want to call them, they're able to kind of pull these weapons and they're like little physical weapons and they're there and they have texture and it's the real things. Everything that she creates is more of like hard like constructs. It's not necessarily real. Yes, you can feel it, but then it kind of breaks and evaporates and goes away. I'm wondering if she's actually pulling these constructs from the Negative Zone, and I know I've been calling it the Negative Zone. It may be something different. Like, it may be inspired by the Negative Zone, and they may be going in a different direction with it. One of the things I noticed, too, in the way that we keep on seeing that universe, this kind of alternate universe, everything is very purple. And the last time we saw an alternate universe that's kind of overlaid with ours where everything is purple, if I'm not mistaken, was Doctor Strange, the first Doctor Strange. So I wonder if there might be kind of a connection to this kind of dark magic, or, you know, maybe specifically Dormammu is involved with this. You know, we ended Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness with this kind of concept that maybe things are going into the dark dimension. And so it's possible that they themselves are connected to the dark dimension, which could also connect them with Dormammu, which would be pretty interesting. It'd be a wild move. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, especially given the branding and everything else, you'd think it'd be more cosmic, more outer space. But, you know, they could go with more of a dark dimension thing. And that would be pretty cool. Anyway, so that, I think that's really the only, like, new information that we got. And it wasn't that much. I mean, I could be misremembering something. I mean, like, I literally just got done watching it, and that's kind of the whole point of these minis, but I don't know. If you caught something, let me know. At the very end, you know, when the construct that kind of the head gen lady, her spear makes with the bangle, Kamala, for all of it, well, does she get cast back in time? All right, like, that's kind of the question. Did she get cast back in time? I'm thinking no. I don't think we're dealing with time travel here. Everything that we've seen from her, especially as the bangle relates to what she sees, is all in a vision. And so I think that she's getting a vision that will connect her further with her great-grandmother and kind of seeing what that story was. And maybe even there might be some sort of shared moment between her and her great-grandmother. Maybe the vision is just that, but maybe her great-grandmother might have a vision of her at the same time. I don't think we're dealing with time. I don't think we're dealing with time manipulation. But I do think that we are getting to the point where, yeah, hopefully next episode we'll get a lot more answers. I mean, this was fine. It was a beautiful episode. You know, you got a lot of chase scenes throughout. I guess in general, I'm just not a huge fan of chase scenes. They tend to kind of run up the clock a little bit, and this kind of felt like that. Not to say it wasn't awesome. I mean, it was beautiful. The fight sequences were really good. We got a chance in her kind of confrontation with the Red Dagger the first time. We're seeing that Kamala's getting pretty good with her power set. And so that little fight scene was really, really nice as well. But yeah, overall, pretty episode, but not a whole lot to go off of here. So looking forward to next week's episode. Love to hear y'all's thoughts. Maybe I missed something. Let me know if I did. You can head over and send your thoughts. TVTalk.fm is our website with all the contact information. You can also tweet into the show at TVTalkFM. You can use the hashtag MissMarvelTVTalk. That's going to do it for today, but don't worry. I'll be back in a flash.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.